Our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And what's interesting is, so while I was at the mission trip, I had to, sneak in a few hours here and there to write the sermon for Sunday. And as I'm thinking about this fabulous game, Jenga, and about where I was going with the sermon, one of the mornings for devotional, one of the other groups just happened to pick this scripture. And the bulletins were already set and ready. This scripture was already picked for Sunday. And it was just fabulous to hear this message in a slightly different context, our mission context. It's fun the way God works sometimes. So I invite you to rise if you're able for the reading of this gospel message. Jesus said to those who were gathered around him, listening to his teaching, he said this, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell. And great was its fall." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today we wrap up this sermon series on the well-played life, where we've been looking at the life lessons that are taught in our family or childhood games, and holding them up, those life lessons, holding them up beside our scriptures to see how they line up with our lessons of faith. Our game for this morning, as I mentioned, is Jenga. How many of you have played Jenga? Okay, excellent. So there's even, there's this small size, but there's also, a giant Jenga now. It's like a backdoor or outside backyard game where it's huge blocks, and it really hurts when it falls. But this one doesn't hurt quite so much, so I brought the small one. I used to love playing this game with my sisters, and I realized as I was preparing for the sermon that we did not have a version of Jenga, so we got it, and now my girls love it just as much as I do, so that was fun. For anybody who were here earlier, we were playing it in the fellowship hall before service started. So according to the official Jenga website, Jenga was created by a woman named Leslie Scott. She's the co-founder of Oxford Games Limited, and it's based on a game that evolved within her family in the early 70s, where they would use the children's wood building blocks that the family purchased from a sawmill in Ghana. Scott launched the game she named and trademarked it as Jenga at the London Toy Fair in 1983. You start with this very neat, tidy tower of 54 identically sized blocks laid in 18 rows of 3 blocks each. And they're layered in opposite directions, 3 upon 3 upon 3, up, 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 up. The idea of the game is that one by one, each player gently pushes a block out, takes it out, and places it on top, continuing to grow the tower one row at a time. Now you're building taller, but you're also at the same time destabilizing the base. The player that makes the tower crumble loses the game and possibly has a heart attack. No, not really a heart attack, but it's loud and it's a bit scary when it falls. So you can choose to play it safe and take out the middle piece of the row, leaving 2 blocks to stabilize that level. Or you can play it a little bit more daringly and push out 1 or 2 of the side pieces, leaving only that center block for the tower to teeter on. Sometimes, that's how it feels in our everyday lives. It seems like some of the losses that we experience are blocks that have been pulled out from under us and leave us teetering. Sometimes it's the center block, and we still have a pretty steady base of two blocks in a row. But sometimes it's both of those side blocks that get wiped out, and we are teetering on that remaining center block. We all have losses and pieces of ourselves that we leave behind in different stages along our journey. There are times when we feel solid and strong, but often there are moments where the gaps, the middle spaces, weaken us at our very core. We live by subtraction and addition, losses and gains as we build our tower. The longer we live, the more we lose. People, relationships, certainties and uncertainties, health, bearing the weight of the burdens of life, loss and unexpected twists and turns and doubts, but we also build higher, gaining new friendships, new relationships, new children and opportunities that open before us. It's what it means to be human. The ups and downs of life are inevitable. Eventually, over time, we, like the tower, lean this way and that. But have you ever wondered what it is that keeps us from toppling over on those days that we feel most unbalanced? Sometimes it's family and friends that support us. For others, it's our faith that reminds us that no matter what comes our way, God is there with us and will give us the support we need to get through our troubles. This week at ASP, the Appalachian Service Project, one of the adult leaders from a different group shared with me a powerful witness about his own life and faith journey. He started this testimony by saying, "You never know when you're going to need to lean on your faith. If you don't have it, it's hard to lean on. But if you have it, it's there for you when times get tough." Back in 2016, John and his wife lost their three-month-old baby. He went to work one morning just like any other day, but mid-afternoon he got a call from his wife saying that something was seriously wrong with their daughter. She'd taken her to the emergency room, and after running tests in the PICU, the doctor dropped the bombshell to both of them that their baby girl had a rare and advanced form of leukemia, and there was nothing they could do. Her symptoms rapidly deteriorated, and within a span of 24 hours, she took her last breaths. On duty that night, before the baby passed, in the chaplaincy department of the hospital, there was a Catholic priest who had sat and prayed with them at the bedside of their dying child. And before that priest left, he shook the father's hand and he said, "This is in God's hands now." To which John replied, "Yes, I know. Thank you, Father, for coming and praying with us. Have a good night." And the priest said again, "You know, this is in God's hands now, right?" And John replied again, "Yes, I know. Thank you for coming and praying with us. Have a good night." And one more time, the priest said again, "It's in God's hands now." At first, John was a bit irritated by the priest's insistence on repeating himself three times. until he realized what he was trying to say. John would lose his child that night. And while they would be devastated by that loss, and life would never be the same again, they and their baby girl would always be held in God's hands. Eventually, maybe not for a while, but eventually, they would start to be able to function like it was okay. It would never really be okay again. It would be different, but they would be able to move into the future. John shared with me that it was only his faith that got him and his wife through that time in their lives. And he always held on to the words of the priest and repeated them often in his head. We're in God's hands. We're in God's hands. I didn't think I was going to get through this part. Life is never all sunshine and roses. We might want it to be, but it's not. We all know that there are times that challenge and overwhelm us, losses that threaten to knock down the tower we're building. But when we're building on a strong foundation, on the solid rock of faith in a loving God who we've come to know best through Jesus Christ, we can withstand the storms of life. As we hear in that scripture, the rain came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. You know, in all the times I've heard that scripture repeated, though, and trust me, as a pastor's kid, I've heard it a lot. I even remember an old VBS song with those words. Something new jumped out at me this time, and I must have heard it because it's right there in the words, but I've never latched onto it quite the way I did this time. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them, they will be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock." Hears my words and acts on them. The wise man with the house on the strong foundation is not simply the one who has faith in Jesus, not simply the one who hears Jesus' words pouring over scriptures. No. It's the one who hears and acts on Jesus' words. Faith alone is not enough to be called wise, according to this scripture. It's action, living out Jesus' message of love and service in our everyday lives. This is what provides a firm foundation to carry us through those storms of life. This week on our mission trip, I saw our youth and our adults putting their faith into action as they served families from a little town in Charmco, West Virginia. They gave up a week of their summer, some a week of vacation from work, the comfort of home, a comfortable bed, a quiet space to sleep, and technology to give of themselves. Often their blood, sweat, and tears to extend Christ's love, God's love, to complete strangers. They acted on the teachings of Jesus, building not only houses that are warmer, safer, and drier, but also strengthening the foundation of their faith, as well as the faith of the families we served. I wonder how you are being called to hear and act on Jesus' teachings of love and mercy and justice in your life. As we go about our week, I invite you to celebrate the firm foundation of faith that gives you strength in times of trouble, but to always be looking for new ways of serving others, of doing justice, of loving mercy, of putting those teachings into action. May we continue to build God's kingdom of peace, one block at a time. Amen. Amen. Amen.